another Boxcar 7-Eleven. Pause for reflection.
Hey, Gloria, I inherited $500.
What?
What's that? You inherited $500?
Yeah, my Uncle Alex died.
Who's Uncle Alex?
Well, the last time I saw him, I was around 8 years old. He was the first Stivic to come over from Poland to America, and then he made it big here, and he sent money for my father to come over.
Isn't that interesting, Archie? If it wasn't for his Uncle Alex, Mike would be in Poland right now.
Out of respect for the dead, I ain't gonna say nothing.
Michael, this check is only for $275.
Yeah, well, it explains here that they took out the difference to recover my uncle's back taxes.
Oh.
Gee, almost half. I don't believe it.
Wow.
I never thought I'd live to see the day when a meathead would have a tax problem.
See, that's the difference between you and me, Arch. I don't mind paying taxes if I know that the money's gonna be used for good things. But do you know what Nixon's gonna do with my money? He's going to use it to buy a bomb and blow up a Vietnamese village.
That's for your protection, buddy. You want them gooks riding the subways with you?
That's right, Arch. That's every Oriental's dream, to ride the IRT.
Michael, $275 is a lot of money. Are we going to save it or spend it?
Well, I don't know. I got to think about it.
Yeah, well, maybe I can help you with that problem. Why don't you look around, see? Find out if you owe anybody anything. And then pay that person.
I don't owe anybody, Arch.
What about your landlord, which happens to be I? What about living here free, room and board for 2 years? Not to mention the depreciation on your bedroom up there.
Arch, I've been keeping a record of every penny I owe you, but don't you remember the deal? I stay here till I finish school and get a job, and then I'll pay you back with interest.
By the time that happens, I'll be rooming with your Uncle Alley.
Wheaties present Night Beat. On stage tonight from Hollywood, Night Beat, another in the Wheaties big parade of exciting half-hour presentations.
Hi, this is Randy Stone. I cover the Night Beat for the Chicago Star. Stories start in many ways. That night, my story began with the innocent ringing of my telephone. I didn't know that on the other end of the line, yes.
Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone.
When you get up and stretch and find your way to the kitchen tomorrow, reach for the Wheaties. Lay spoon to a whole wheat. Whole wheat that can help make a difference all morning long. Start a good breakfast with Wheaties for the roll-up-your-sleeves kind of energy that can make the morning go smoother. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. You got it? A whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. That's why Wheaties can do so much. That's why Wheaties at 7 can really help at 11. Tumble out those golden flakes, pour on the milk, put on the fruit, pick up the spoon, and smile. You're getting nourishment to help send you through the morning on high. You do it. Help yourself to breakfast of champions. And see how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11.
It was my night off. I locked the door, pulled down the window shades of my $6 a week ivory tower, and took the cork from a bottle of, Mother Jones' soothing stomach syrup. And reached for, you should pardon the expression, a book. Oh, what the heck, a lot of people read books. School children, for instance. Tonight, some other poor sucker was walking the Night Beat. And as far as I was concerned, the whole world could take a walk. But as it turned out, the joke was on me. The world took a walk, all right. Right into my snug little ivory tower. It began modestly enough with the ringing of my telephone. Yeah?
Randy, this is Matt Connell. Where have you been?
Oh, look, Mr. Editor, I'm on my own time.
I called every redhead in town. I called every bar and grill. I called the police station, the county hospital, the morgue. Where have you been?
Well, you found me, Matt, at home.
Oh, that's great. That's great. You'll never guess who's looking for you.
Okay, I'll never guess.
Mr. D. Stout's come to town.
Edward, the Stout, our distinguished publisher?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to talk to you about that night beat spin of yours.
What about it?
Well, he's got some ideas. Maybe he wants to expand it into a column. He's only going to be in town till tonight, so he wants you to phone him right away. Andover 23820. You got it?
Yeah, what are we calling him this season? Father of the water, star of stars, or just plain Bill?
Randy, call him right away. It sounded important.
Okay. Come on. Good evening, Mr. Stout. Your humble servant, Mr. Stout. A drop dead, Mr. Stout.
Jerry's on that garage.
Garage? Is this Andover 23820?
No, this is 30829. You must have dialed wrong.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Two, three, eight, two, oh. Moving. Well, I'd have to try again in a couple of seconds, so I didn't even bother putting the receiver back on the hook. And from that little thing, it all began. I started thinking, isn't it funny how by just missing one number on the dial, instead of getting a millionaire publisher with ulcers, I got Jerry's all-night garage? What would have happened if I dialed 7 instead of 9? Then who would have answered the phone? It was a strange thought. Through this little dial, the whole city was at my fingertips. I remembered reading somewhere that there were 6 million telephone combinations on one dial. Then on the spur of the moment, I did a dumb thing. I spun the dial 7 times in rapid succession without even looking at the number. And the phone started ringing. I had a connection. Where was it ringing? Who had destiny chosen to get my call? Some frowsy little gal crying her eyes out in the back bedroom? A dozing night watchman in an office closed for the night? Was my call interrupting a family brawl in some dark flat on the north side? Was it breaking up the sleep of some poor guy working a night shift? Well, wherever it was ringing, there was no answer. So I tried dialing the Stout's number again. I thought what a swell idea for a column. The whole city at your fingertips. Still busy. So, again, just for the fun of it, and without looking at the phone, I dialed 7 times.
Fred, listen, darling, don't hang up again. Let me talk to you. Please, please, darling.
Okay, what is it?
What? Oh, I thought... What do you want?
Oh, nothing. No, you almost dialed the wrong number. I'm sorry.
Wait a minute.
Hmm?
Don't hang up. Maybe you can help me.
Help you? What is it?
My life's in danger.
Come again?
I've got to have a doctor.
I'll call one for you.
But I can't have any doctor. I've got to call one who would understand. One who wouldn't betray Grant.
Then why don't you call Fred's doctor?
I've called Dr. Bechtel.
Bechtel?
Yes, Russell Bechtel. He says doctor. But his nurse said he's not on the call and she doesn't know where to reach him. I couldn't tell her the trouble I'm in. She wouldn't understand. She'd only tell me to call the police.
The police?
Yes. Fred has one of his attacks. He's threatened to kill me again. Yes, and this time he's... gone for a gun.
Oh, then, sister, you better call the police.
No! They put Fred away for good, and I couldn't stand that. I'd rather be dead.
Oh, I get it.
You don't believe.
Oh, you'll catch on fast. Who put you up to it, honey? Sounds like the boy's on the police beat.
Listen, you've got to believe.
Does it say so in the Constitution? Look, I'm pretty busy.
Please, please, you've got to. You've just got to. You've got to.
Wait a minute. How could this be a gag? You didn't call me. I called you.
I swear,
keep talking.
Look, I don't know who you are or how you happen to call this number, but if you don't help me, I'm finished. All Fred needs is a doctor, one we can depend on. Fred's been sick for a long time. When he gets these spells, he temporarily goes out of his mind. And Dr. Bechtel can always snap him up.
Well, we'll call him.
But I told you I can't reach Dr. Bechtel.
Well.
Oh, you must be
are you talking about? If your life's really in danger, of course I'll call the police.
All right, just to get the whole thing. Goodbye.
Wait a minute, don't hang up. Just give me a chance to catch my breath, will you? Now, let me see.
Yes?
Well, okay, you sound like a good kid. Maybe I can get you to a doctor, my doctor, Lawrence Blair.
Will he do as I say?
Yeah, but I better be able to tell him a few things about this, or he'll just tell me to go to bed with an ice bag and a couple of aspirins. Now, just who is this guy, Fred?
He's my husband, Fred Schwerin.
He's threatened to kill him?
Yes, as soon as he returns.
Why didn't you get out of the house before he returned?
I'm not in the house.
Oh?
We were out riding when he got this pill. Oh, it was terrible. It was terrible.
All right, now try to relax. Now, tell me about it.
Not loving him anymore. And he threatened me like a madman.
Yeah?
Then he drove me to the studio and locked me in. Said he was going for a gun to kill me.
Where is the studio?
I'm not sure. I didn't watch those. I was meeting with him all that time.
Oh, fine. That makes it dandy.
I never knew about the studio. He's a commercial artist. I guess he came here to work. See, we've only been married for 3 months.
Well, are there any windows you can break through and get out?
No, it's on the 8th floor.
What about the fire escape?
It's at the end of the building. I'm pounding on the door so I can get help, but no one's come. We haven't lived in the city very long. I've called a few friends we know, but no one's home. I don't know what to do.
Now, look, there's no time for that. I'm going to get my doctor over to you. I got to know where you are. Now, you go and look out the window for any identifying landmarks that would help us find you.
Oh, but please don't hang up.
No, I won't hang up. Now, go on. Step on it. Well, I waited for her to return. I opened my collar and I loosened my tie. What have I gotten into? Me? Nothing. But what about that poor kid? Why wasn't she back on that phone? Where was she? Come on, lady. Where was she? And then she was back.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, I was so afraid you'd hung up.
Well, now do you have any idea where you are?
Well, there's a big warehouse directly across from the building.
Yeah?
About a block east of here, I can see a radio tower. But I can't quite make out the name of it.
A radio tower? What else?
Well, there's just the usual apartment buildings along the street. But on the corner, there's a large supermarket.
A supermarket? Anything else?
Yes, there's a park. Like Lincoln Park.
And the building you're in now, can you tell me anything about it?
It's white brick. And there's two more floors above it.
All right, okay, we'll be able to find you. I'll call my doctor right away. He knows the city better than the guys who built it. He'll find you. And I'm going to stay right here at this phone. If anything goes wrong, I want you to call me right away. You understand?
Yes, I will.
My number is Butterfield 13003. Have you got that?
Butterfield
13003. That's right.
Remember now, I'm depending on you not to call the police.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if you do, I'll deny everything. Maybe that sounds crazy, but you don't know how much I love Fred. How wonderful he is when he's well.
Yeah, well, kid, nothing sounds crazy to me anymore. I'm even ready for that thing about the strokes. Now, don't forget to call me right back if you need me. I'll call my doctor right away.
All right.
When I hung up the phone, I was ready for a blood transfusion. I tried to light a cigarette, but the match shook so much you'd have thought I was signaling someone. But then as I reached for the phone book to call my doctor, I started thinking again. I said, oh, Randy, it's too past to be true. I couldn't help imagining that someplace a room full of practical jokers were doubled up in laughter over the way the girl had taken me in. But how could that be when I called her? Well, just the same, I'd better check. She said her doctor was Russell Bechtel. Before I called my doc, I'd call this fellow Bechtel just to make sure. I found his number in the book.
Edgewater
66989. Dr. Bechtel's office?
Yes. Who's calling, please?
I'm a newspaper man on the store. I'd like to talk to the doctor.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's not in now. He's out on a call. Can I help you?
Well, maybe. Does the doctor have a patient named Fred Schwerin?
Well, these things are confidential.
Yes, look, ma'am, there's no time for that. A few moments ago, I spoke to Fred Schwerin's wife.
Well?
She told me that Schwerin had gone into a violent fit of some kind.
Did he have another attack?
Yes, he's got her locked in his studio, and he's gone for a gun. To kill her.
Then you'd better call the police right away.
You mean she was telling me the truth?
I mean Fred Prairie's a dangerous paranoid. He's had 3 attacks in the last 2 months.
Why wasn't he put away?
Well, the doctor begged that girl to get him to asylum, but she's so separate.
You know the address of Schwerin's studio?
No. But the doctor might. But I have no way of reaching him until he calls in. Our records show only Mr. Schwerin's home address.
All right, thank you. Will you please call me back if you reach the doctor? My number is Butterfield, 13003.
Yes, of course, but what are you going to do?
Well, I don't know. She wants me to get my own doctor out there. She gave me enough landmarks to find the place.
Then you better hurry, because if Schwerin's had another one of his attacks, and he gets to for that girl with a gun, you'll never find her alive.
Yes, yes, I know. Goodbye, thank you. So, the poor kid had been telling me the truth. I know I ought to call the police, but I remembered her saying that if I did, she'd deny ever talking to me. Yes, and maybe she was stubborn like the nurse said, but she was also a mighty brave kid. I started looking through the phone book for my doctor's number. Black, Blaine, oh, where is it? Blair, Jasper, Lawrence, there it is, Dr. Lawrence Blair, Radcliffe, 41079. Before I could dial the number, my phone started ringing. Yeah?
I can
hear
you talking. I was looking down. I just saw Fred drive up in the car. Too late for the doctor.
Yeah, but not for the police. I'll call him right away.
No, you can't.
But don't you see your life is in danger? If he's insane, he's got to be restrained.
Oh, please give me a little time to try to handle it my way.
No, I refuse.
Then I'll tell Fred the police are coming for him. Give him a chance to get away.
But you don't understand.
I only understand that I love Fred. Nothing else matters one bit. I've talked him out of these attacks before, and I'm
going to
try to do it again.
All right, all right. How much time do you want? Give
me half an hour.
No, 15 minutes. If you don't call back in 15 minutes, I'll know you're in trouble, and I'll have the police out there at once.
All right, now I've got to hang up. Let him lock the door.
Now remember, 15 minutes.
Yes, I've got to hang up.
General Mills is bringing you Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone.
Salesmen can sell better, farmers can farm better, housewives can housewife better, on a better breakfast. Sure, and sure as you start with Wheaties, you're going to have a good start to a better breakfast. Now, whatever you do, whatever your job, do it better, smoother, easier with Wheaties to help. Because there's a whole kernel of wheat for every Wheaties flake. And what a difference that can make. Whole wheat protein for vigor and stamina. Whole wheat vitamins and minerals for vitality. Naturally, it makes a difference. Naturally, you should feel a bright and pleasing difference in your morning with whole wheat Wheaties tucked inside. Have some and see. You'll enjoy yourself, too. They're good to get up to, these golden flakes. Crisp, you know, not sweet. Fill those breakfast bowls with Wheaties, pour on the milk, put on the fruit, and eat happy. Yes, eat happy and work happy. It's likely to be a brighter morning when you've had your Wheaties. Thousands of people think so, too. Get up and go, folks. People with things to do and places to go. They're getting breakfast to champions in the morning. Are you? Get yours. Starting tomorrow, see how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11. Wheaties. Breakfast of champions.
Now, back to Night Beat and Randy Stone.
This time I'd hit the jackpot in spades. I was just doodling on the phone, spinning the dial without even watching it, when I got a girl waiting to be killed by her crazed husband. I promised to wait 15 minutes to give her a chance to snap the guy out of it, and if I didn't hear from her at the end of that time, I was to call the police. I wasn't sure my watch was right, so I dialed at the correct time.
At the tone, the time will be
6:05. My watch was a couple of minutes slow. I reset it exactly. 6:05. Okay, if I didn't hear from her by 6:20, I'd call the police. Her husband was with her now. I could close my eyes and see that madman threatening her life in that studio. I felt my stomach cramp up like a troop of Boy Scouts were practicing their nuts. Why had I promised to wait? Maybe this was her. I felt tiny chills race up and down my fingers as I reached for the phone. Yeah?
I want to speak to Marge.
Huh?
Tell her, pal. Call her,
look, pal, you've got the wrong number. So long.
Wait a minute.
Look, will you hang up?
Don't give me any other difference. You just call Marge to the phone.
I'm expecting an important call. Hang up.
Now, well, let me check.
Joke. What time was it? 6:07. I took the watch off my wrist and set it on the telephone table under the lamp so I could see it easily. I watched the tiny hand circling so slow. 6:08. What was happening in that studio? This might be it. Yeah?
This is a nationwide radio survey.
What then?
Are you listening to your radio?
Will you please hang up? I'm expecting an important call.
Oh, I'm sorry to bother you, sir. Thank you.
What if she'd call when someone else was on the phone? I had to keep the line clear. Operator, I'm expecting a very important call during the next 10 minutes, and I don't want to receive any other calls. Can you help me?
Is the call you're expecting long distance, sir?
No, it's local.
It would be impossible to block out your line for local calls, sir, because then the call you're waiting for would be unable to come through.
Oh, yes, yes, I hadn't thought of that. Thank you, bye. 609. Had only 1 minute gone by, I could feel my nerves tightening up like someone was turning a screw. She should be calling soon. What was happening to her? Miss Waring?
I want to speak to Marge.
Didn't I tell you? You've got the wrong number. Now get off the line and stay
I
off.
I got to rise up all right, Spock. Now you just put my telephone, you hear me? You tell.
Why doesn't that bum stop calling? Why didn't he stop? Oh, okay. Come on, relax. Relax. 6:12. Why had I promised to wait? I should be calling the cops right now.
Operator?
What do I dial for the police department?
You dial 211, sir. Or I can connect you.
No, not yet. I was just wondering about it. Thank you. I promised her I'd wait. Maybe she could control the guy, but why wasn't she calling? 6:13. Time was passing so slow. Oh, is that drunk again? Who is it?
Stone, what are you trying to do to me? Get me fired?
Oh, Matt, it's you.
Yeah, your boss and editor. Who are you expecting? Truth or consequences?
Look, Matt, hang up, will you? I'm waiting for a call.
Waiting for a call?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you, Randy? Didn't I tell you to call Mr. South? He's waiting for your call, you crazy loon. Yeah. You know how out front in public you like to be kept waiting.
Yeah, I haven't time to explain, Matt.
Don't explain anything. Get on that phone and call Andover 23820. Now, that's an order. He just called and tore into me. He asked me if he was expected to phone you. He's pouting up there, Randy, feeling abused. And you know what happens when Mr. the Stout feels abused.
Yes, all right. Hang up, Matt.
You'll call.
Yes, right away. Hang up.
Okay, and after you talk, you'll call me back.
Yeah, yeah. I looked at my watch, 6:17. There were just 3 minutes left to get her called. I couldn't phone the Stout now. What if she should phone when I was talking to someone else? What if she had only that one chance and all she got was a busy signal? No, I couldn't call now. Hello.
Hello. Is this the Stone residence?
Yes, yes. What do you want?
I'd like to speak to Mrs. Stone, if you don't mind.
There isn't any Mrs. Stone. Look, I'm very busy.
No, Mrs. Stone. Well, I'll come back and talk to you then, won't I?
Yes, but some other time.
I beg your pardon.
I'm very busy now.
Oh, this won't take but a tiny moment, and I have so many calls to
take. Now, look, madam.
I've been appointed by our local committee to call you about becoming your assistant. We'll ask you to cooperate with us in our drive.
Madam, I'm not old enough to vote.
But if we all go then, don't you see we can do something?
Look, I'm going to have to hang up. Some other time. Yeah.
Well, hey, you better hang up for me again.
Will you stop calling this number? 6:19, and she hasn't called. I'm going to wait for one more minute to pass, and then I'm going to call the police. Hello.
Randy Stone?
Yes?
I asked Matt Cummer to have you call me, Mr. Stone, but apparently you were unable to. This is Edward the Stout speaking.
Oh, the big boss. Oh, no.
What's that?
Yes, Mr. the Stout. I was going to call you as soon as I had the time.
As soon as you had the time? Well, I must say, that's not exactly flattering, Stone. I rather imagine.
Mr. the Stout, I'm expecting a very important phone call.
There are people who think that a call from me is also rather important.
Can I call you in 5 minutes?
And what am I supposed to do? Just sit here waiting for your call like a lackey? I believe Connell told you I was leaving tonight.
But, Mr. Stout...
So we'll talk now, if you don't mind.
Look, instead of talking about this on the phone, how about me taking a cab over to your place as soon as my call comes through? We could talk it over much easier.
Oh, I think we can handle the matter over the phone very nicely.
But we can't handle it over the phone, don't you see? A girl's life is at stake, and you prattle on like we had all day.
A girl's life at stake, is it?
Yes.
I've heard about your talent for invention, Mr. Stone, but I don't think I enjoy the idea of you practicing them on me.
Look, Mr. Stout, I'm afraid I'm going to have to do something else you won't enjoy. I'm afraid I'm going to have to hang up.
I wouldn't do that.
What time is it now? 6:21. It couldn't be. I couldn't have talked to him that long. Oh, hurry.
At the tone, the time will be 6:21 and 1/2.
6:21 and 1/2. Well, I kept my part of the bargain.
Police Department, Sergeant Harris.
Oh, Harris, this is Randy Stone. Listen to me closely. We don't have any time to lose.
What's up, kid?
You better send out an all-points alarm on this. It's got to be fast.
Hey, slow down. down, slow down. I can't understand you.
Look, a while ago I spoke to a girl on the phone. She told me her life was in danger. She was locked in a studio and her husband was coming there to kill her.
Easy now, easy. I gotta write this down.
You gotta move fast or we're not gonna make it.
Go on.
This husband of hers, he's insane. He became violent.
How long ago did you talk to this dame?
15 minutes ago.
Why don't you call us right away?
I'll tell you all about it later. We gotta get to her.
The address of this studio.
I don't know her address. It's the first time I ever spoke to her.
So you can drink it.
No, no, I'm telling you the truth.
So how are we supposed to find her?
Well, she gave me a landmark. She saw from her window. She gave me enough for you guys to get right to it.
All right. What are they?
All right, now let me see. She said her window looked right out on the blank walls of a warehouse.
Whose warehouse?
Well, she didn't say.
Oh, that's a big
thing. Well, she could see the tower of a radio station about a block away.
Could she make out the call letters of the station?
No.
That's no good. What else?
What do you mean, no good?
How many stations you got on your radio show? Mm. What else?
Well, there's a supermarket down the street, a big supermarket.
Supermarkets are all over the place.
Yeah, but this one's near Lincoln Park.
What does that mean? The whole north side's near Lincoln Park. What else?
Nothing else. You add all those things up, it's got to lead you somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, we could find her all right in 3 or 4 hours.
But that's no good. In fact, she hasn't called back, means she's in trouble. If you don't get there right away, it'll be too late.
Hey, wait.
What?
We're a couple of dope.
What do you mean?
She called you what you call her.
I call her.
Okay, we're in this.
Huh?
We'll have a squad car to that studio in 3 minutes.
I don't get it.
You call her, don't you see?
Huh?
All you gotta do is give us her phone number, and through the phone company, we can trace down her address in 30 seconds. What number did you call?
What? What number did I call?
Come on, don't. Come on, we've gotta move.
But I don't know what number I called. I didn't even look at the dial.
Come on, don't speak up. What number did you call?
I don't know what number I called.
You don't know?
Don't you understand? I don't know. I'll never know.
What?
I was doodling with the phone, and she answered.
Well, I guess we'll just have to try to find her with the information you gave us. That's going to take a long time, but there's nothing else we can do, huh, Stone?
Well, there's 6 million combinations on a dial. No, there's nothing else we can do. I hung up the phone and just sat there. I wanted to die quick and easy. What was I going to do now? How was I going to be able to go on living as though nothing had happened? I was just as much of a murderer as that crazy husband. How could I be so stupid? Why didn't I ask for a number? Why didn't I? Yeah? Yes?
This is Dr. Bechtel's nurse.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so glad I got you. It's all right.
What's all right?
I was able to locate Dr. Bechtel just after you called.
You what?
He knew the address of the studio all right, and he got there in plenty of time. We're sending to a Richter Sanitarium for treatment.
And, the girl.
Oh, she's fine. I had to give her a sedative, though. That's why she didn't call herself. But all's well that ends well, like they say.
Oh, you know what I've been doing the last 15 minutes waiting for her call? I'm half nuts myself. I'm ready for a straitjacket.
But, Mr. Stone...
Why didn't you call me right away?
But, Mr. Stone, I've been trying. Your line's been busy.
Yep, that's, what's called learning a lesson the hard way. The lesson being that ivory towers went the way of hoop skirts and 60-cent steaks. Nope, there's no escaping from the world. We're all tied together for better or worse, whether we like it or not. And no matter how well you lock your windows and bar your doors, the dreams and the fears and the hopes of all your fellow men are still no farther away than your fingertips. Oh, no, no, I won't answer. No, I... Oh, well, let's see this. Yeah?
Listen, I want to speak to Marge.
Oh, shut up. Oh, you know something, next month I may decide not to pay my phone bill. Copy, oh, no, what am I doing?
You're listening to Night Beat. On the Wheaties, Big Parade.
Oh, Frank Lovejoy.
Yeah.
How do you like that slogan we've got for Wheaties?
Oh, you mean that one about 7 and 11?
Yeah, you know. See how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11.
I think it's swell. How'd you happen to think of it?
Well, can you keep a secret?
Oh, silent Frank, they call me children.
Well, the other morning, I missed my Wheaties. Imagine. And I tell you, Frank, by 11 o'clock, I felt like I'd been put through the ringer. I was worn to a frazzle.
Well, it just goes to show you.
You know it. It certainly convinced me that if you eat Wheaties at 7, you get the energy you need to help you feel good right on to lunchtime.
Oh, so you thought up to see how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11, hmm? Well, no wonder they call you the Wheaties today.
That's right, Frank. Good night.
Night.
Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy, is produced and directed by Warren Lewis and written by Larry Marcus, with music by Frank Worth. The part of the girl was played by Loreen Tuttle. Others in tonight's cast were Catherine Card, Barbara Dupar, Bill Lally, Peter Leeds, and Jay Novello. Frank Lovejoy will next be seen in Milton Sperling's production, Three Secrets, released by Warner Brothers. Listen next week and every week as Randy Stone searches through the city for the strange stories waiting for him in the darkness.
And this is the Wheaties man, Frank Martin, inviting you to listen also Tuesday, that's tomorrow night, to the Penny Singleton Show on the Wheaties Big Parade. See you then.
Night Beat came to you from Hollywood.